We are the Glamp Queens.
We're just two classic gals who enjoy spending time in nature while keeping the comforts of home.
Whether you're a pro, a total newbie, or just tagging along for the ride,
grab a glass of wine and join us by the campfire
as we explore the world of all things camping.
Hey there, Glam Queens!
Hey!
We just got back from camping on the Brazos River, which was so nice.
Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. Y'all, it was perfect mid-January Texas weather.
We were preparing for cold weather camping, but it was actually pretty perfect weather, actually. It did get cold at night, but right now in Texas and like mid-Texas, I mean, it's
Mid-60s?
Sorry, y'all up in New York.
Or anywhere north at all.
My sister-in-law was sending me videos of her walking down the street in New York right now, and she's like, it's 20 degrees, and, you know, real feel of 10. And I was just, I don't know. But it's beautiful right now.
I have not been bundled up. It's been really nice. And so camping was fabulous. It was definitely like mid-60s during the day. And then at night, I think it got down to like the low 40s.
Got down to 32.
Oh, really?
So it did get down to 32.
But you know why? You know why? We did upgrades.
We did some upgrades. We prepared better for our, quote, cold weather Texas camping. Texas cold weather camping, because we're not in Michigan camping in January.
No.
Which would be an experience.
Oh my gosh, I would love to see the snow.
It would be beautiful.
It would be really
waking
cool.
up and like, you know how snow has that just, that sound?
Crispy?
No, not when you walk on it, but you know, you just, when everything's covered in snow and it just has like a sound to it, that like a quiet sound to it. I don't know how to explain
true.
It. That would be lovely to wake up to.
Also cold to wake up
very
to.
Very cold, though.
But we did do some upgrades to our cold weather camping. I was actually really excited because, obviously, us glam queens, we love to talk about our mattresses. And over...
Princess and the Pea.
Yeah, Princess and the Pea for sure. But we now have the XPED Mega Mat Duo.
Mega Mat?
L15.
That sounds like a new... car, or like, it sounds very techie.
It is kind of techie.
All of the, yeah.
But, it's techie for a mattress. But basically,
new Mega Mat.
There's a lot of foam in it.
So how does that
work? It's a cloud.
Can you explain this?
Yeah, so what they did was they took a cloud, and they shoved it into a mattress, and now it's just like sleeping on a cloud. It's fantastic.
Is it really?
Yeah, and
so it's part foam and part
air.
Air. So you have to blow up part of the mattress, but then like the bottom part is foam.
Yeah. So the top part is foam.
Okay.
So you're actually sleeping on the foam, but that
makes it more comfortable, I bet.
Oh, it's super comfortable. I will say it's a lot larger than our old mattress.
Okay.
When
it folds up.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot larger.
It's that foam.
Yeah, it's the foam.
Worth it.
Yeah, worth it. Yeah, definitely worth it. But actually, so it has like an R value of 11, which really helps with the insulation. So like if you've listened to some of our previous episodes, you can go back and kind of like learn more about the R value. But it was just fabulous. So.
Well, one other thing that we did prepare pretty well for this trip is... I was happy that we kept cooking pretty simple. Normally, we kind of go all out with cooking and, you know, Robert and I kind of go all out with the cooking and, you know, we'll make a big fabulous breakfast and a fabulous, you know, dinner. We might have something kind of fun for lunch. But I texted him this time. I was like, hey, let's keep cleanup real simple because I don't want to deal with that this time. So we did keep it pretty simple. We just had like oatmeal for breakfast, which was honestly perfect when it was just about, you know, 40 degrees and it was crisp in the morning and it was just perfect
having
that oatmeal.
Warm.
And then for lunch, because it was, you know, a little bit of a cooler Weather right now, I did cook some beef stew that we brought out there in jars, and
it was so good.
You know, just reheated it once we got out there, and it was great because it had like potatoes and carrots.
It was so hearty.
It was a very hearty stew. Mm-hmm. So it was also very healthy, which we're all trying to be healthy right now. So yeah,
May, January goals.
January. We'll see where we are in May. everything's fried, but right now it was healthy.
Yeah.
And no, I thought it was pretty good, and it was actually, I thought the meals that we went with this time was pretty nice because it was just simple. We meal prepped it. It was easy. There was hardly any cleanup, and we just got to relax instead of doing dishes and cleaning and cooking, which is great.
Oh no, I completely agree. It was definitely an easier cleanup. Well, I think one of the things that we wanted to discuss with you guys, all you campers and glampers out there, I know in our previous episodes we've discussed how to find your campsite and the different search engines to use, like HipCamp or Go Camping America. We've talked about where to camp, state parks, national parks, and even when to camp. So like our favorite seasons. Hint, hint, it's fall. So now we want to like get you guys ready to be at the campsite and arrive at the campsite. So we're super excited to kind of discuss some of the things that, you know, how to set up, where do you pitch your tent, and like how do you find that perfect spot? Because honestly, sometimes it's like when you're a new camper and you get to your your site and you're looking around and you're like, okay, I have all my gear, but what do I do now? Like, where am I supposed to put everything, and how do I make it like super cute and glampy? Because really,
and just also functional, yeah, because we really do want to help our new campers out there. Because, you know, if you've already camped several times, if you're a seasoned camper, this might not be the information for you right now, but it's also a good reminder, I think, on some basic things that you can also forget if you haven't gone camping in a long time. And our goal is to get our girl, our glamp queen out there, all set up to go. have her packed, have her planned, have her, you know, at the site, ready to go. And now we're going to set up the campsite.
Oh, yes. Okay, so how are we going
to
do that, Sarah?
Well, once you've decided where to go, one thing to keep in mind is that while arriving after dark is definitely doable when you are arriving to your campsite for the first time, I don't really recommend it. It is doable. You can always string up some lights, you know, put on your lanterns to set up your tent. But it is so much easier if you can just find a way to get there before sunset. That would be one thing I would definitely keep in mind, because there have been a lot of times where maybe, okay, we're going to head out on a Friday after work and, you know, we're totally going to make it there before sunset, but then we have to stop and, you know, we forgot this one thing, or we got to get gas, you know, just things come up, or work goes a little late, or there's extra traffic, and then we end up getting out there and it's well after dark, and it does make it challenging to set up the campsite. So I would definitely say, if you have the luxury of, you know, giving yourself that little cushion before sunset, checking when sunset actually is depending on the season that you're camping in, or even honestly, I prefer waking up super early the next day, you know, if it is a Saturday morning, even getting out there as early as possible. Maybe you have everything packed the night before and getting out there. It just, for some reason, it's not as stressful to me.
Oh, I agree. I find. Yeah, no, I think it definitely is a little bit easier. I know that I'm one of those people for sure who sits there and says, okay, I'm going to get all of these things, you know, ready and prepared and packed before I go. And then ultimately, I am a last minute packer sometimes. I keep telling myself I'm not, but I think I am. And it will be literally like Robert says, okay, we got to get out, you know, we got to get out of here by 5 o'clock. Well, I don't know, 4:59, I am still trying to shove stuff into my bag. So I think that really, it really is easier to just, especially if you're a new camper, packing everything up the night before is great.
Mm-hmm.
But, and like, you know, I know that we all want to like get out and like stay as long as you can, but even if it's just for one night and you get out there on a Saturday morning, take your time setting up, get really prepared like for that one night, and then leaving on Sunday, I think that that's totally fine. It's definitely...
Even staying later yeah. on Sunday, getting back a little later, I think I still prefer that.
Oh, over, for sure.
Because before we'd be like, oh, well, obviously we want to stay there for two nights rather, you know, if you're doing a weekend trip and you can't do, if you yeah. can't take off work, which if you camp as much as you and I do, you can't take yeah. off work every single time.
Well, that's why we just need to go full time.
I mean, that is the goal. Full time campers. But... You know, if you can't always do that, and we used to just, okay, we're going to just book it out there after work, we're going to set it up, and then, but honestly, what ends up happening, we get so tired, we're so tired at that point, because we've just worked a full day, we've driven through traffic, we've set up the mm-hmm. whole campsite, and then we just kind of pass out, and we're kind of too tired to even, like, sit around the campfire for too long.
Or, yeah, you can't just enjoy it.
Yeah,
you can't
nearly enjoy it. We're just tired at that point. But yeah. We did do this last time, where we got out there Saturday, a little later than I preferred. We did get out there a little bit later.
Robert
than
I and I got out there
ASAP. Well, we weren't you know why? We didn't pack the night before.
We did. Ladies, you gotta pack the night before.
And it
you
took get, us so you gotta get, long to get out
you gotta Saturday get out there.
Pack before.
Yes, it was so much better. But yeah, I mean, even you getting out, I think you got out still at, what, 10 or 11.
Yeah, it was around lunchtime.
Yeah, it was about 10 or 11, and I thought that was still good.
Then we stayed until, like, I mean, well into Sunday the next day.
Oh, yeah.
And
which normally we don't do.
Normally we don't. And I liked it better still. I liked it better. That's just my preference, though.
Yeah, no, and I think that everybody has some type of preference on, like, you know, when they can get out there, or even, like, what their perfect campsite is. Because, like, you know, honestly, each trip that you end up taking is going to be kind of unique to the individual, unique to the couple, or whoever, you know, whoever's going out there. I think that the campsite is going to be unique, and so the setup is going to mm-hmm. be a little bit different too,
also depending on your goal for that
yeah,
trip.
Actually,
if you're getting out there to hike, or if you're going to be rock climbing, I mean, depending on whatever your goal is, or fishing, you might need to get out, you know, that might change things, because aren't fishermen all about the early mornings? So, I mean, that will change when you plan to get out there. But I would say for the new camper, for the new glamper who we are trying to talk to right now, I would recommend trying to get out there during the daytime, so you can kind of get your faculties together, figure out where everything is, get settled in, and not feel like you're just arriving into the wilderness at night.
Yeah.
With nothing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, especially because you really don't know where anything is, you know, if you're showing up late at night. You know, it's going to be dark. You don't know where the bathroom is. You know, if there is a bathroom, you don't know where your water source is. I mean, all of that really does matter. You don't think it matters until you show up and it's dark. And then you're like, oh, wait, I have to.
Woo.
In the distance, and you actually have to go to the bathroom,
which is fine if that happens, but preferably.
Yes. Well, and so, okay, so this is going to lead me into, where are you going to pitch your tent? You want to try to keep the ground as flat as possible, because you don't want, like, say if you pitch your tent and then you put your sleeping bag in, you really don't want to slide down a hill in the middle of the night and kind of get squished. That's no fun.
Forced cuddling on whoever you're in the tent with.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to make sure that the ground is not just flat, but you want to make sure that there's no sticks, no rocks. This is obviously for comfort purposes, because, you know, you don't want to poke yourself, but at the same time, you also don't want to poke a hole in your gear. So having something, even like a footprint, will help with that. Most tents probably come with their own footprint. If it doesn't, for some reason, you can definitely, like, use a tarp, or you can find some other sort of material to kind of put down.
It basically just needs to be like a waterproof material that you put underneath your tent. So if you are borrowing a tent, because it's your first time camping, It doesn't, maybe they lost the footprint, which does happen. Yeah, just go by Walmart. You can buy a tarp for like $6.
Yeah.
That'll work just fine.
Yeah, and especially if it's going to rain or if you know it's going to be raining or there's even the tiniest chance, definitely look for good drainage. So you want to make sure that even if you say you are on a slope, say you don't really have a choice in which campsite you choose and it's only sloped, you really want to make sure you're not going to put your tent right on, you know, where the water runs down, because you don't want to, you know, end up flooding your tent either. Not that, you know,
that's sounds, a really good point too. And there's a way to kind of figure out, most of the time you can kind of see where the drainage is going,
mm-hmm,
by looking at the soil and like the dirt. It'll be kind of,
yeah, looks like a little tiny river.
A little snail trail. It's like a big, yeah, giant snail trail. Another thing to keep in mind also is the trees. If you do have the luxury, mm-hmm, I think it's a luxury to have a campsite with a lot of trees. I think it does also help block wind. We have camped at Enchanted Rock, which is a beautiful, beautiful place to visit. But the wind does get pretty intense, and a lot of the campsites I felt didn't have a whole lot of trees, and so it was really, really windy during certain times of year.
Well, in Texas, you really want shade, too, because sometimes it's so hot that you need the shade. But if you do choose a campsite with a lot of trees, you really want to make sure that you're not pitching your tent underneath dead limbs.
Yes, because what do we call those, Katie?
Widowmakers.
Which is so morbid, but also kind of a great name for those,
yeah,
giant, giant dead limbs that are just sitting up there. And then a gust of wind comes, and hello, you're now a widow.
Yeah.
It's so morbid.
So morbid.
And another reason with the trees to keep in mind, too, is when you are kind of figuring out which tree to, you know, where to put your tent, I prefer, personally, the taller trees, because mm-hmm, there have been other times where we've put our tent under a very low-hanging tree,
oh, yes,
in, like, the spring or summertime during warmer weathers. And do you remember that time that we put
that
tree?
Oh, my God, it was the bugs.
We woke up, and the sun was coming through it, and it was like our tent was speckled.
Covered.
And we could see the silhouettes of all these, I mean, the most varied number of insects I've ever seen. There were bugs I've never seen before.
There was caterpillars.
Giant, giant caterpillars.
Furry.
They were gray, and they were like 3 inches long and fat. And then there were these green, lime green bugs. With
this
the
actually
long...
sounds cool the way you're talking about
they
it.
They were cool
it was
looking.
Totally...
They were very cool looking, but I don't want them on my tent.
No, no.
We were
it was...
plucking off the bugs to put away the tent, and it was like, oh, what insect is this?
Okay, so taller. Taller trees.
Yes, taller trees, because...
Better, because at least you're not going to get the droppings. And also, if you think about it, too, the sap from trees sometimes, you don't want the sticky sap,
yes,
on...
Yes, and then it gets rolled up in your sleeping, yeah, bag, and that's just not good. Oh, my gosh. One more thing about those caterpillars. There were so many caterpillars. I couldn't even believe it. One of those big, giant, gray caterpillars started to make a cocoon in one of the folds on our tent. Yes!
Oh, my gosh,
I
no.
had the, yes! So there was a little wrinkle in the tent fabric. And when I went out, remember, it had silk. Oh, it put silk on.
I remember this.
Yeah, and so it was like a lazy caterpillar, because it was using half of my tent for the side of its cocoon and was just filling in the wall.
So, oh, that's so
like,
gross.
This is cheating, Mr. Caterpillar, first of all. You're not making a proper cocoon.
Oh, it was so
But
gross.
Also, I felt like bad and grossed out all at the same time, because I was like, oh, I'm sorry to ruin your, you know, your transition into butterflyhood or moth. You're probably a moth, but I'm so sorry to transition this, but also gross. And now I have to peel off the... We had to peel off the silk.
That's disgusting.
It was weird. It was very weird.
Yeah, no. So tall trees is a win, and low trees,
keep the caterpillars in mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you like caterpillars... Well, and the other thing that I really like to keep in mind when we're pitching our tent or choosing when to pitch our tent is, because it's not just pitching your tent, it's you also have to set up a fire, and you have to set up your kitchen, and you have to set up so many different aspects of the site So I know that, you know, if it's broad daylight, obviously, go for your tent first. Like, that's what I would tell anybody, is go to your tent first, set up that, and then if, you know, it's late at night and you need the light, set up your fire first. So, like, definitely think about where the sun is in your day, and if you can, hit up your bed first. But that's just my personal preference. But if it's cold, or if it's, you know, at night, definitely go for the fire first.
Well, and there are some benefits, like practicality, to doing the tent first and then the fire, is because if you are starting a fire but without lighter fluid, or even honestly with lighter fluid, but especially if you're starting a fire without lighter fluid, it does take some tending to get it going and keep it going. We've made that mistake, yes. Also, where we're like, we're gonna do our camp. You know, it was broad daylight, so we had no reason to, other than we just did it in that order.
Yeah.
And we started our campfire first without lighter fluid, which was a little bit of a process, but we did it.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, cool, it's done, it's set up, it's going, it's roaring. And then we turned around, kind of didn't pay any more mind, set it up our tent, turned around 15 minutes later, it was dead. It was completely dead. We had to start all over and get completely new kindling. And
yeah,
get
everything. I was going
to say. It was so frustrating because we had like collected all of the kindling and we'd like gone around and like we had like
all the these
perfect
sticks.
Kindling. Yeah. Yeah. And it was very frustrating. So one benefit to doing the tent first, because that is one of the longer tasks. It takes longer.
Well, it's not even just the tent. It's also the bedding. You got to make sure your mattress is
everything
blown
kind of good.
Up. You got to get it Gucci.
Right. And then get it Gucci. I forgot about that phrase.
We got to
bring it back. No, and then as you do, you know, if you do your tent, your bedding, and then the campfire, as you do the other steps to the campsite, you can kind of keep an eye on the campfire pretty easily because you're not, like, inside your tent putting up your bed. So I definitely agree that tent should be first, if you can.
Yeah. And granted, you don't even have a tent. Right. I mean, you have a tent, but you sleep in your Jeep.
I'm a hobo. No. No. Well, we have transitioned into sleeping in the Jeep, actually, which I'm loving. Sean and I are right now trying to transition the Jeep into being a full-on sleeper Jeep. That's what I call it. I don't know what everybody else calls it, but sleeper Jeep. Eventually, we'll get a rooftop tent, but we can't afford that yet because they're expensive.
Oh,
they're very expensive. So our transition from tent camping to eventually rooftop camping is that we have the back of the Jeep made up to where we can sleep back there. We got one of the mattresses that fits his style of Jeep. You can pick out, it's from Quadratec, and you can pick out like your, which Jeep you have, like the JK or the JL, and then that's the one that they send you, so it'll actually fit perfectly. And it does, and it's really comfortable, actually. Mm-hmm. It's an air mattress. It's battery powered, so you don't even have to have a plug. It's like perfect for overlanding.
How long does it take for you to actually set all of that up in general?
For the Jeep? It's
super
fast, actually. And the one big bonus about sleeping in the back of the Jeep is that it's way less stuff to bring, because our tent was huge, honestly. It was very large. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had to have the air mattress that we were using before. It was just a regular old air mattress, and that was huge. And the one that we have for the back of the Jeep folds up very, very small. So that's awesome. And ultimately, once we kind of unload the Jeep and we have places where we put the Chuck and Bill, our boxes, as y'all might remember, I named. Once we have those unloaded, it takes, 15 minutes maybe to get the back of the Jeep all ready to go, sleep in. So that's great. And
so
I really do like
shorter.
That.
So it's a lot shorter. So
it's a lot less work.
So you could almost do like the fire tending and the Jeep setup simultaneously.
You could, yeah. And there have been times when Sean and I have gone camping, just the two of us, and we didn't bring a whole lot of stuff, because it was just the two of us for like one night.
Like a minimal trip.
Minimal trip. And we were able to just kind of pull out the ice chest, pull out some bigger stuff, lay down the, you know, get the back of the Jeep ready to sleep in, and then just, you know, start the fire and crack open a beer and hang out. And it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like it because it's less stuff to carry, mm-hmm. and it does get it all set up a lot faster.
I know that we've already probably talked about this a little bit, but like giving yourself plenty of time is so important, especially for new campers. I know we've kind of, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but man, I feel like that is a huge thing that I had to learn, was giving myself plenty of time.
Well, because it is ultimately supposed to be relaxing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to enjoy camping.
Yeah, but, you know, you always feel rushed, especially after work or this. Like, you do really feel rushed. And so giving yourself time to set up a new tent, especially if it's the first time setting up a tent or first time setting
up. You never set up a tent before. Give yourself some time and be patient with yourself. We tried setting up Chris's tent. We had never seen that tent before. We didn't know what it looked like. We had no context as to what shape it was supposed to be.
Oh yeah, there
was. It was kind of amusing. No photo, and so we were like, "Is this going to be a square, circle?" And it ended up being this weird shape that was like
it was like oblong,
and like with corners. I don't know. It was weird. It was like this weird shape, and so that was kind of hilarious. So
yeah, no, there's definitely a flow though. I mean, like, no matter what, there's gonna be a flow to setting up your campsite. So like Sarah said, just be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to figure it out for the first time, it's okay.
Well, I think the final thing that we really like setting up would have to be the kitchen area. We have a new way that we're setting up our kitchen right now. And the way that we've been doing it, which I really like, is that we back up both of our Jeeps, mm-hmm. caddy corner to each other.
Yeah.
And then set up our pop-up for shade.
And then we have a table.
Over, in the middle of those. And then we have our table that we pull out. We do have a fold-up camping table that folds up very, very small. But you now have a new kind of fancy Jeep table.
Yeah. So we ended up getting it is exactly what you just said, a Jeep table.
On the swing gate.
Yeah, it hooks up on the swing gate, and then you just, like, unclip it, and it turns into a table, which is fabulous.
I love it.
And
I want
so
one.
It's actually, it's going to be our little stove top area now, so that's where we put, like, our kitchen stove and...
Which, it's the perfect size for that camping stove, actually.
It really is.
And the table that we have, it's nice because it kind of accordions out. We set that up. We have the ice chest out. We have our chuck box down there with all the food and, you know, spices and things we need to cook. If we're really going to be doing some cooking, we do like hanging up that shoe bag on with our spices and our cooking utensils. So that's if we're really going to do some real cooking, though.
The shoe bag is really, like what Sarah said, an actual shoe bag. So, like, go to Target, and, you know, the thing that you hang on the back of your door that has slots for your shoes? Yeah, we got one of those for camping. It's actually fabulous.
It works perfect.
It holds, like, your spices. It can hold all your utensils.
Coffee.
Bug spray, whatever you need.
Phones.
Phones. Yeah, sunglasses. It's
pretty handy, actually.
Yeah, anything that you would normally keep in a pocket, you can keep
it's a wall of pockets.
It's fantastic.
But it is nice, though, because then if we're really doing some cooking, we can just grab something, you know, get it done.
Oh, yeah.
And then we do have, we try to find whichever part of the kitchen kind of is more sloped. That's where we put our wash station. So we have two foldable buckets, collapsible buckets, and we have one for washing and one for rinsing, because I found that does seem to conserve more water if we do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Reserve a lot more water.
Yeah, we're on a two-bucket system
now. Well, because you can put a little bit of water in the wash one and a little bit of water in the rinse one, and you can use them for all the dishes, and they don't get dirty.
Yeah.
It kind of works out really well. So
works out great.
That's our kitchen setup.
Yeah, I love it.
So, to recap, our preference is to definitely try to get there before the sun sets, giving yourself plenty of time to set up your campsite before that sun does go down, or try to get there in the morning.
And especially since, you know, if you have new gear, give yourself a little extra time just so, you know, if you're fumbling around and you're trying, you know, you got all those tent poles flinging around.
You haven't set it up before. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and just make sure you, like, take some, you know, evaluate your space and evaluate.
Try to find that flatter ground for the tent. Mm-hmm. You don't want as much stuff underneath the tent because that can damage your gear and also be super uncomfortable.
Yeah, nobody wants to sleep on sticks or rocks.
Nope, definitely not. And look for the trees.
Yeah,
also.
And even if you have to like clear out the area, mm-hmm. that's okay. Just like clear a little space for you.
We don't have to go crazy. We don't have to sweep it. And also keep in mind the trees that you're going to be setting up your tent underneath. Is it shorter? Is it taller? You can also keep in mind the wind, trying to, you know, figure out a way to position your tent so it is more blocked from the wind. Mm-hmm. And also when it comes to setting up the campfire, we do prefer to set that up after you finish setting up your bedding and the tent, if you can, and then set up the campfire.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, you really just want to make sure you give yourself enough time with the daylight. So maybe just move over to the fire if you have to tend it. Maybe you get somebody else who's with you to tend the fire while you're working on the tent setup. If you don't
divide and conquer.
Yeah, divide and conquer. I love that always. but yeah, just really make sure that you give yourself time because ultimately campsite setup should not be something you get stressed out about because what we're trying to do is like tell you guys it's okay. Relax. Like grab a glass of wine.
Well, that's one reason I like doing the kitchen last. Ultimately, guys, we hope this does help this first night camping, which congrats if this is the first time you've ever gone camping and you're out there and you're like doing it and you're gonna set up your campsite and you're gonna set up your tent. You've never set up a tent before. Cheers to you.
Yes.
I am so excited. Don't be overwhelmed. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be fabulous.
Because tomorrow morning you're gonna wake up.
Oh, and you're gonna
see the sunrise coming up. You're gonna hear little birdies.
The birds chirping.
And you're gonna be like, oh my gosh. Hello, Mother Nature. Good morning.
It's going to be fabulous. Great. Yeah. It's going to be wonderful. So we are so excited to like help you get through that journey. And like I am talking to all my girlfriends out there who are like, oh no, I can't do this. I'm going to get overwhelmed. I don't even know where to begin. We are talking to you, ladies. We got you. Just enjoy yourself because let's be real. After everything's all set up, you get to relax. Like, you get to
treat yourself. In front of a campfire, which is my favorite part, is once you get everything done, then you sit down by the campfire next to your BFF. Or whoever you're camping with. It can be somebody else.
It could be
your boo.
It could be your boo.
But you sit down by that campfire, and you just like,
yes.
Okay. And you just, it is so relaxing. Because you're out of the city. You're out of the house. You got that fresh air. Thank goodness.
I'm like thinking about it right now and I'm just like, I feel so relaxed even just thinking about that moment because you really set everything aside. You put your cell phones away, you put everything away and you really just, you just relax.
And also we want to talk to everybody because we know you guys, it's January 2021. The pandemic is still going on, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And right now, your life, you just may not be in a season right now where you can drop everything and go camping. That may just not be where you're at right now. You may be taking care of an elderly parent. You might be home with the kiddos and you can't leave them. You know, y'all might be quarantined right now. Or you could be living in someplace where it is terribly cold and you can't go camping because you'll freeze. So for any of those reasons, if right now you're listening to this and you can't go camping right now, first of all, hang in there. We're going to get through this. This is not going to last forever. But one thing that you can do right now, you can take control with this, is something that I've actually been implementing into my own home right now, which is the art of feng shui.
Yes.
Which, okay, you guys, I used to think that feng shui was just moving furniture around.
It's totally not.
It's actually about balancing the energies in a given space. A lot of us are working from home. We're stuck at home. We can't go out. And so I think right now, if you can find, maybe you can't find that balance by getting out and going camping. I mean, I think if Katie and I had it our way, everybody would be in a place in their life right now where they could just drop everything and go camping and just get outdoors and relax. But sometimes that's not what's available to us. So one thing you can do is take control of the space that you are in. your home and try to practice balancing that space, making that space as nurturing to your mental health and to your spiritual health and to, you know, just making that space as healing as possible right now, I think could be really beneficial, because that's where you're at right now. You're surrounded by it.
Well, and just even bringing some of the outdoors in. I mean, how many times do I like come back from a trip to the grocery store or Home Depot with another plant? And I mean, honestly, so just like being able to still feel like you get to be outdoors. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me, it's just bringing them in all inside.
Well, but plants are very conducive to feng shui, actually. They do give off positive qi, actually. So, I mean, there is so much. That could be a whole podcast in itself is feng shui. But look it up. You can definitely just YouTube it, honestly, if you just want to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting, though, because I think it definitely does play into taking control over your environment. And I think that's something that a lot of us kind of need right now, because there's a lot of things that we can't control right now. And so if you can find that sense of peace in your home, just by moving a couple things around. It's not about moving furniture, though. It is about, it's a lot more than that. So look it up, try it out. Let me know what you think, because I'm totally nerding out over it. I think it's really interesting. And I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody should try this now more than ever as we're at home. But
well, I think this kind of wraps up our episode today, huh? What do you think?
I think so.
I'm excited.
I am super excited. And we can't wait to talk to you guys next time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Please follow us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can also check out our website, www.glampqueens.com, for our blogs, where we go a little bit deeper into all of these topics. And also write to us. Send us your silly videos of you setting up a tent for the first time, even if it's in your living room. We want to hear from you guys, because we love you.
Exactly. So, congrats first, campers, and just tell us how it goes.
Wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.